and I can say amen to that. I'm waiting and I'm ready to leave this world, that's for sure. All right, a lot of memories there, Gar. A lot of memories there. All right, well, it's good to see everybody this morning, and I hope that you are enjoying the Lord. This month will be over here before long, and we're trying to preach about our heart. And can I say, you probably won't enjoy much if your heart ain't in it. You know that? If your heart's not in it, you're not going to enjoy. I don't care what it is, whether it's the world or whether it's with the Lord. If your heart's not in it, you're not going to enjoy it. And I'm trying to at least get you to think a little bit, to get our heart fixed upon the Lord, that we might enjoy what God has given us. If you're not saved this morning, then you're missing out and you really don't have a clue what we talk about when we talk about enjoying the Lord and the blessings of the Lord. Now, you have blessings of the Lord yourself. The Bible teaches it rains on the just and the unjust. So there's some material blessings that you have and everybody has that we have across the board. Just being alive, God is good to everybody. But there's a difference when you're saved of what God is and what God does. And I'm afraid there's too many Christians, too many believers, whether you mean it or whether you mean to do it or whether you got caught up in it or just been lax, but you're not enjoying what you used to enjoy. There's some things I have a hard time getting tired of. I don't get tired of pinto beans and cornbread. Amen. Don't get tired of it. I don't get tired of a fried potato. I don't get tired of that. I don't get tired of a biscuit. Now, when I don't have it very often, I really miss it. But if I have it every day, I'm happy. Does anybody understand? We got the Lord, and there's some things we should never be tired of. It never should get monotonous. If serving the Lord is monotonous to you, your heart's in trouble. If you're bored with church, it's not church that's your problem. It's your heart that's your problem. If you're not getting along with people, it's not people that's your problem. It's your heart that's the problem. This is just introduction. We're just talking now. We ain't preaching now. But I want you. We need to be enjoying the Lord. But so we're gonna try to help us this morning. You may not be guilty of anything we preach this morning. That we don't always just try to show guilt. We try to get people to think. And I said many times, if you throw a dog in a pack of hounds, the only one that's gonna holler is when you get hit. That's the only one that's going to yell. The rest of them ain't going to pay no mind. So if it hits you, then okay. If it's not, then let it serve as a warning. Okay, let it serve as a warning. Sometimes we are warned by the Word of God. Sometimes we're warned by the Word of God. I just want you to understand that today. We're not trying to see how many messages we can get on the heart. The heart is our problem. The heart is our problem. That's why we need saved, because our heart is the problem. We need a new heart. That's why we need born again. It's got to start in the heart. And that's what I'm wanting me and you both to do. Now, I'm going to tell you right quickly, I have not arrived. I am not where I could be. I'm not where I should be. All right? And there's many times I'm not where I used to be. Just like anybody else. I have issues with my heart. Right? And then it affects my mind. Alright? When my heart gets bad, it affects my mind. Then when my mind gets bad, it starts affecting others and affects all my actions. So all of it relates to my heart. All of it. You go to the doctor, and it don't matter what you... If you go in because you hurt your foot, they listen to your heart. Now, I don't know what they hear. I've never put them things in my ears to see what they're listening to. I know my heart's beating. They don't have to tell me. I know it is. But I don't know what they hear. I've never really asked them. They just said, Okay. I reckon when they don't panic and run out of the room, I reckon everything's good. But why do they listen to your heart? Because something's wrong with your toe. Because your heart, if your heart ain't working right, needs your toe. You better understand, if your heart ain't right, your toe ain't going to work right. That's why we're preaching on the heart. Everybody all right with that? Let's pray together, can we? Father, I come. Lord, you're wonderful to us. And Lord, I want to be wonderful to you. I want to magnify your name. I want to exalt you, preach your word the way you want it preached. And Lord, I can't do that without you doing it in me and through me. I can't do it. Lord, I'm asking you to cleanse me that I might not be a dirty vessel. Lord, I might be a clean vessel for you this morning. Lord, I pray that your word will penetrate our heart, that we'll think, and let the Holy Spirit draw us to the place that you want us to be, that we might see your glory in our life, and that you might be first in everything that we do. Thank you for the singing. Thank you for the memories. Thank you for the singers, Lord, not just the songs, but thank you for them as they always bless our heart. And Lord, we thank you for them. Now, Lord, help us. Lord, we need your help just now. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, again, we're gonna give you the introduction that we've given you the last couple weeks, the last few services. And again, this is so important. So let's look at it. Keeping our hearts fixed in 2026. Keeping our heart fixed in 2026. Psalms 57:7. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Now, that's our theme. Now, you're going to hear that every Sunday, or at least you're going to see it every Sunday. And I'm going to try to remember to tell you that every time I leave you a message on the phone. My heart is fixed. Oh, God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. All right? Now, so in context of the Scripture, a heart fixed and established. A heart that's fixed is a heart that is fixed and established, or that is firm and sure. It is one that is assured of salvation by Christ, rooted and grounded in the love of God through Christ, firmly built on the foundation which is Christ, and has its affection set on Him, Christ, and is unmoved. If our heart is fixed on the Lord, it's going to be centered around Christ in every aspect. All right, it's got to be. My heart is fixed, oh Lord, my heart is fixed. If my heart is fixed, then listen to me now. If your heart is fixed like it's supposed to be, then the Lord will be first place. Period. Okay? My heart is fixed and unmovable. Instead, it's unmoved. That's fixed. A fixed thing. Some of y'all like sports. Y'all played sports. I used to play sports. I understand some of it. All right, you would what do they call it in basketball? What is it saying? A post? You'll stand. You'll fix your position and make them go around you. Right? And they just got to run you over. You fix it. You don't move. You know. You. It's a fixed place. And I used to play basketball. Y'all won't believe that. I maybe scored points. Okay. I run track. I played football. I did do it. Okay. I did do it. I just didn't like it. And but anyway, I see no purpose in running. Okay. There's no see no purpose in it. But anyway, unmoved is what I want to say about. However, we got a problem. Jeremiah 17:9-10 tells us why we have a problem. Because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We can't comprehend how far our heart can be bad. We can't. We don't even know what resides in the depths of our heart, just how wicked we could turn in a heartbeat. Okay? But it says here, I, the Lord, search the heart. How come He don't search the brain? Huh? Because some of us ain't got enough sense for nothing to find anything anyway. But we all got a heart. We all got a heart. That's the center. For I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. Because everything we do is coming out of the heart. Everything, okay? Now, so we see that the heart is bad, so therefore must be fixed to be fixed. If our heart's bad, then we got to fix our heart so it can be fixed on Christ, okay? It needs to be fixed where it's wrong, where it's in error, all right? Can I tell you, it don't have to be no big, deep sin to be in error. It don't mean if you're a mass murderer or a drunkard or all this stuff, but if our heart gets messed up, if it's in error, then we need to fix it. All right. Sometimes you remember when we used to didn't have cable and we just had TV and you'd have a bad signal on your TV. Sometimes you had to just slap a side of it. Sometimes it'd be snow. Anybody remember snow on the TV? No, I'm not talking about this kind of snow, but the snow on it. The signal was a little bad.
Yeah.
All right. It didn't mean the television was broke, but the signal was bad. Did any of you ever wrap up tinfoil and put on the antenna?
Yeah.
All right. And they had to be adjustments made because of the interference of the signal. As a lot of us have interference with our signal.
Yeah.
And we got to be adjusted. Sometimes we need slap. That's true. Sometimes we just need a little bit of adjustment on our ears.
Yeah.
Our rabbit ears.
Yeah.
Somebody understand me? You with me? Some of y'all young ones don't have a clue what I'm talking about, but I understand. All right? Y'all still don't know what a rotary phone is. Some of you. Right? But for our heart to get right, we're going to have to get it fixed, and we're going to have to keep it fixed. Are we okay with that? Now, I want you to listen carefully this morning. All right? Let's listen carefully. Hebrews chapter 3 is where we're going to be for a little bit. Hebrews chapter 3 is what our main text is. Let's read it together here. It says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in a provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart." Think about that. They always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, I'm going to stop there just for a moment and explain some things. Here the writer of Hebrews is telling us, and we're being compared to the children of Israel. All right? Romans 15:4 maybe, tells us that the things that happened before time or written before time are written now for our example. Our example that we might see, written for our learning, I think is the way the word says, written for our learning. All right, so here, I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, and I believe he's telling the brethren, see that verse says, take heed, brethren. He's talking to saved people here. Now, wait a minute. They always err in their heart. We're talking saved people this morning. And it says there, the brethren have an evil heart of unbelief. Huh? And he's reminding them of what happened with the children of Israel in the wilderness, how God took care of them and they tempted him and they're murmuring. Brother Rick told us about that this morning. He proved them how faithful he was. They ate manna 40 years. Every morning they got manna. Every evening they got quail for 40 years. Faithful. Their shoes never wore out. Their clothing never wore out. Nothing wore out. They was provided 100%. And they whined, complained, murmured, wanted to go back into the world, growled about it. They had water. Me and Rick was talking about this. If you read about Moses, you know, got water out of the rock. Well, Paul told the church of Corinth that that rock followed him. So I don't know how all that happened. Rick told me, he said maybe it was cold, all that land over got rocks everywhere. Or I picture this great big rock following him every time they need to drink. He got water out of the rock.
Yeah.
It said the rock followed them. That's all I know. Read over in Corinthians, see if it don't say that rock which is Christ followed them. That's all I can tell you is what Scripture said. So you study it sometime, all right? Hear me. Provision is what I'm trying to get you to understand. Is everybody all right with that? And he tells them that God got upset and they wasn't going in to rest. Now that ain't heaven. The children of Israel going from the wilderness, from Egypt through the wilderness to the promised land, and none of that's heaven. Egypt is a type of sin. The wilderness shows the type of the journey and the provisions of God on the journey to the rest or the fulfilled Christian life. That's what the promised land, that's not heaven. Okay? But we don't find that rest. We don't find that fulfilled Christian life because we don't listen. Did you hear me?
Yes.
So it says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Well, you say, well, how do I do that? Well, we do it all the time. We do. God speaks to all of us. But how we respond depends on the condition of our heart. Now listen to me. When we hear the Lord's voice, some believers are willing to go deeper and be more obedient in their relationship with Him. It is a personal relationship. And we'll hear the voice of the Lord through the Scripture, through the preaching, however, and we then have that burning desire to go deeper with God and get closer and closer. Some do. But not all. Some do. Alright? Others, however, resist or refuse Him because their heart has become less responsive. Alright? Didn't say responsive, I said less responsive. Alright? Or should I say our hearts become hardened. Now, unbelievers, if you're not saved, unbelievers just reject Him completely, hardening their heart each time more and more. If you're here this morning and you're lost, you've heard the gospel before, your heart is harder than it was the last time you heard the gospel. And if you don't listen today, it'll be harder tomorrow if you hear it again tomorrow. And the more you hear the gospel and don't believe, the harder your heart gets, the finally you won't believe and to hell you'll go.
Yeah.
Okay? But we that are saved will harden our heart as well. All right? Mark 8, all right? Verses 14 through 17. It says, now disciples, now let me back up just a minute and let me tell you where we're at here. Jesus, of course, fed the 5,000, then He fed 4,000. He had just fed the 4,000. He fed the 4,000. They had 7 baskets full left over. Had 12 baskets full left over when He fed the 12,000. Had 7 baskets full left over when He fed the 4,000. All right, He gets in a boat. Disciples go. Has some talks with the Pharisees. Now He's got the disciples in a boat. And this is where we're at. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. They had 7 baskets full. And they got in the boat to leave and they didn't take no bread with them. Is that smart? Does that remind us of anybody who is given plenty of provisions and find ourselves not having anything that God let us have?
Yeah.
That was, well, I forgot. I forgot that scripture. I forgot that passage. I forgot that help. I forgot that food. How can you, in a desolate place where you ain't had nothing to eat, have 7 baskets full and you're getting ready to go on a trip and you forget your lunch? And it says, now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And He charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we don't have no bread. That's why He's telling us that. Because we don't. And when Jesus knew it, He saith unto them, why reason ye? Because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? You know what He's doing? He's trying to talk to them about false doctrine. Okay? But they missed it. Alright? Their heart was not on the things of God. Alright? Are you watching here? He's teaching them about false doctrine and they're concerned about lunch. How many times do we have that same problem here? I'll preach and preach and preach and you're more worried about lunch than you are what's being taught. Huh? Is that not true? Now, if you go back and read this passage even in Matthew, this same account here in Matthew, it goes a little deeper that he's talking to the Pharisees about the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he's trying to tell them not to believe what they was teaching because it was wrong. He's trying to get them lined out spiritually. And they're saying, you just said it because we didn't bring no bread, didn't you? They missed it.
Right.
Why? He asked them. And there in the scripture it said, have you yet hardened your heart? Have you hardened your heart? Huh? Are we listening? See, he's teaching about false doctrine and concern about lunch already. They were slowly hardening their heart to the things Jesus taught. And we missed it too. You know why? Look at that last sentence. Because we spend more time seeking God's hand than we do His presence.
Yes, sir.
We seek God's hand more than we seek His presence. We'll be satisfied with the provisions as long as He don't mess with us. You know why? Because our heart's messed up. When our heart has become hard, that's what we're going to preach to you just for a minute. When our heart has become hardened. Now the warning here in Hebrews said, today if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. That means you can quit it. Today, if you'll hear His voice, don't do it. Today, if you'll hear His voice, don't harden your heart. Listen. Everybody got that? The scripture is simple. The scripture is not complicated. All right? Let's see. Now, a change in our heart and how we respond may be hard to notice because it happens slowly. And our response is usually justified or excused, one or the other. How do you respond when the Holy Spirit speaks to you through Scripture? Or in other words, how do you, I'm asking a question there. How do you respond? See, if you read your Bible, look at me now. If you read your Bible, it does speak to you. Because that's God speaking. It's God's Word. How do you react when you read it? Do you read it so fast that you don't hear what it says? Have you ever talked to someone and nodded your head and you don't have a clue what they said? Have you ever done that?
Yeah.
You know why? Because you weren't interested.
Right.
You, yeah. Will you shut up? I've got things to do. Will you do? Do you ever do that, listening to the things of God? How do you respond when the Holy Spirit speaks to you through the Scripture? Huh? Now, what I want us to do is carefully consider the following ways we start becoming calloused or hardened. Is everybody with me now? Won't take long at all here. Start with, it's insensitivity to what God says and resisting His authority. When we start feeling that way, when we start not caring what the Bible says and not caring that He's in charge, then we are starting to be calloused and harden our heart. See, do you ever say, well, I don't care what it says, I'm going to do this? Have you ever said that? Have you ever said, yeah, I know it's... That's getting to be my pet peeve. I know. You know? Y'all ever seen him in little cartoons of Batman and Robin? Where Batman's smacking Robin? Anybody ever seen that? Anybody ever seen that on there? I love that. Because that's what I feel sometimes, Batman and Robin. Because I always think that Robin always says, like, I know. And Batman smacks him across the head. Says, no, that's not the way. And I do this. I do this. Yeah, I know. Lord, I know. He said, do you really? We get to where we don't care what he says in his word. Proverbs 5, 12 and 13. I used this last week, or week before last, didn't I? And say, how have I hated instruction? And my heart despised reproof. Are y'all reading that with me?
Yeah.
And have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. When that starts happening, our heart is starting to be calloused and hardened. When we get to where we really don't care what the Word of God is telling us, then our heart is hardening. Are you hearing me? When we have disobedience to what the Lord is instructing you to do, when we know what He wants us to do, but we refuse to do it, then it's because our heart is starting to get calloused. May already be calloused, but that's a sure sign that it's being calloused, that it's hardening, that our heart is hardening to the things of God. Huh? James 1, 14 and 15. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of what? Of what lust? His own lust and enticed. When he's drawn away of his own desires. Huh? Then when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, because it don't stop there. When lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. We become determined to do what we want. And can I tell you, that's not just lost people. That is prevalent in the Christian life as well. That we want to do what we want to do when we want to do it, and then we want God to bless it after we do it. We don't consult His instruction. We make our decisions without God. We do everything we want to do without God. Then after we do it, say, now God, will you bless this? And He says, how can I bless it? I'm not involved in it. John 14, 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That plainly tells us when we're disobedient, it shows a lack of love toward Him. Well, where does love come from? It comes from our heart. And it shows that we're starting to harden our heart. And I'm warning us not to have a hardened heart. The Scripture said, today, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your heart. It's a warning. If you're not doing it, then don't do it. If you are doing it, quit it.
Right.
But don't. Be careful. Watch for the signs. Because these are signs that we're hardening our heart. Okay? Justification and blame of our sinful conduct. Genesis 3, 12 and 13. And a man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this thou done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Ain't nobody taking no credit or no blame or nothing, huh? When man sinned. And that's the way we are today. And it's getting so bad, it's in the church house eyeball deep. Huh? We live in a victim complex society today. It's always somebody else's fault. I can't be spiritual because of this. And I can't do it because of them. And no, that ain't the problem. And nobody wants to own up to the wrong. We even blame God when things go wrong. Our reactions are always because of what someone else did. Not because our heart's bad. Not because our heart's hard. And we're blaming somebody else. Huh? Is that not where we found ourselves today? Well, I get mad. I get mad. And you, just husband and wife, let me talk to you a minute. Y'all argue? Anybody spat? Anybody argue? Talk to me. Come on now. All right? And then when you sit down to discuss it, you say, well, you shouldn't have gone. Well, you shouldn't have. If you hadn't have said, if you hadn't have done, if you hadn't have went.
Right.
Well, why'd you get mad? Because the other person messed up. You messed up and it wasn't your fault. I understand. See, my sins, the reason my sins are not my fault. Adam sinned. I don't know him. That was 6,000 years ago. Because he sinned, I do wrong. Do you not blame it? Blame everybody at work. Oh, man, my day has been bad. Well, why was your day bad? Oh, because so-and-so done this, and so-and-so done that, and so-and-so done that. Well, what'd you do? Well, I didn't do anything getting mad about. Then quit. Quit your job. If it's going to make you that bad, if you're going to be that evil, just quit your job.
There you go. Yeah,
I bet they'll cry. After they get done with their party, they'll cry. We blame everybody. I mean, that's the society. What's the news? We mad at all the politicians. Everybody's burning this and fighting this, and it's always somebody else's fault. You know whose fault it is that I ain't doing better than I'm doing? My fault. You know why I'm not doing no better than I'm doing? Because I don't want to. You know why I don't want to? Because I'm hardening my heart. You know why you're not getting along? You don't want to. We get preoccupied with worldly things. We can tell our heart's hardening when we're preoccupied with worldly things. We can tell our heart is calloused, starting to callous and get hard when we preoccupy ourselves with worldly things. Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." 1 John 2:15-16 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." Now, I'm going to remind us today, and I know this is not the belief, but this is what the Bible says. That when you get saved, your life is to be for Christ. Period. That's what the Bible teaches. Come and follow me. Not part-time, not sometime, but all the time. That's what the Bible teaches. That's the only right way. He is to be first, and that's it. We still okay? Our mind, our heart, our time is not on godly things. Other things come first. God, His Word, His work come after other things. It don't mean that we're not involved. It just means it comes after other things. We don't live in view of heaven. We live to stay here in this life. Now, I'm not meaning to hurt nobody, but this is the truth. I'm afraid for most, if our loved ones never died, we don't ever want to go to heaven.
You're right.
If our loved ones didn't die, we probably never would want to go to heaven. We want to be here then. Because Jesus ain't who's in our mind sin.
Right. That's good.
I know that's hard, but it's a fact. It's rare. It's rare that we are burning with desire to see Jesus. Because when I first see Jesus, I'm going to have to be judged. Is everybody hearing me? We talk more of people in heaven than we do Christ. There's little interest in spiritual matters. When we find our heart is starting to harden, if we can see that we have little interest. Now, that's not the cause of being hard. That's the result of a hardened heart. Absence of private devotion. Absence of Bible reading and prayer. When we start slacking off on that, it's because our heart's hardening. We're calloused to the spiritual thing. When spiritual things is not in the most important. Let me ask you, how much interest do you have in spiritual matters? Which would you rather hear, a song or a sermon? Which would you rather hear? If you'd rather hear a song than a sermon or a teaching, then you're wanting emotion,
right.
Not spirit.
That's right.
Now, ain't nothing wrong with songs. That ain't what I'm saying. I'm just saying when we seek songs above the Word of God, we're seeking emotion, not spiritual strength.
That's right.
Because spiritual strength is going to come from the Word of God being preached and taught. Not some. Because 90% of our songs are humanist songs.
Yes, they are. Yes.
Are we okay?
Yes.
Preaching to our hearts this morning. We can see our hearts are becoming hard. 1 Timothy 4:13 says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Paul's telling a young preacher, "Till I get there, then make sure you're giving attendance to reading, exhortation, and to doctrine." That's not just preaching about the joys of heaven. Doctrine, that's that meat in the Word of God. Huh? 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." These are commands in the Word of God. Slowing down in gathering to worship, we're slacking off. Church, huh? When we slow down, when we find ourselves start slacking off, hear me now, when you find yourself start slacking off in church attendance,
yes,
your heart's starting to become calloused and hardened. We can tell our heart's getting hard when we become unfaithful to God's house. When we used to never miss, now we make plans to miss. And we do make plans to miss. If you purposely schedule to be gone, I don't care whether it's vacation or not. I'm not saying not to go on vacation, but I'm just telling you. When you purposely intend to miss church, maybe not this church. Personally, if I go on vacation, I go to church while I'm on vacation.
Yes, sir. Yep. Yes.
But when you purposely intend to miss church, your heart is starting to callous or harden. You say, "I don't believe that." I know. Hebrews 10:23. Here's what we always read verse 25, but we don't look at what it says above it. It says, "Let us hold fast to profession of our faith without wavering." Now, how am I going to hold fast or be fixed in my profession? Well, one of these things is I'm going to have to be in the house of God. That's what all this goes together. Now, read it in its context. Are we okay? "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." We're talking about being fixed, are we not? "For he's faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Can I tell you, I need to provoke you to love and good works and coming to church and holding fast and your profession being fixed. How? "By not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see that day approaching." You ought to be coming to church when the doors are open and finding somewhere else to go when the doors ain't open.
Right. Yeah.
That's what it means.
Yeah.
It says, not forsaking the assembling ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and what's it say? And so much the more. That's what the Bible says. Let me ask you, is your heart turning hard and callous? You tell me. I'm not saying it is. I'm just preaching on warnings. Okay? Do you realize things just change your heart? Look at me. Do you realize things just change in your heart? Do you realize it? That things just changed. Why has it changed? Is your heart soft and pliable, or is it calloused and hardening? The last questions are very important. Are you willing to change it back? What do we do? What do we do? Well, we ask the Lord to mold your heart. We need to remember that He specializes in making all things new. And the lights in our turning to Him. We okay? Isaiah 64, verse 8. But now, O Lord, Thou art our Father. We are the clay. Thou art our potter. And we all are the work of Thy hand. Why don't we let Him make us what we need to be? Jeremiah 24:7 says this, and I will give them an heart. It's what the Lord said. And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. But we ask the Lord to give us a heart that we might know Him. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their what? 2 Corinthians 5:17, we know this. How many times have we quoted it in the last years? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Psalm 57:7, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Sure, we'll go to piano. Brother Clark, are you hearing me this morning? Sometimes we need to pay attention because our heart is starting to get hard. When we're soft and pliable, y'all, a lot of you ladies, some of you men, y'all make bread. And you ever make bread and you let it sit too long and it get a little hard around the edges? Well, you don't mix that in with the rest. You kind of pull that little hard stuff off to the side and let that other, so you need to let that other be soft and pliable to make the bread. That hard stuff, you don't mix that in. That'll be an old hard lump in the biscuit or the roll or whatever. You don't do that. See? Sometimes you just got to take the sin of not to be hard. Pay attention that you're not callous. Now, I know when we work, listen to me, when we work all the time, we're a serving church. If we work all the time, we're more liable to get callous. When all you do is serve. Are you listening to me? When all you do serve, sometimes you need to don't do nothing and just come and enjoy and sit. I'm not telling you to quit your job. I'm not telling you to quit your position. I'm just telling you that if all we do is serve, then our mind is on our service, not on who we're serving. Does that make sense to anybody this morning? Does any of this make any sense to y'all? That we don't harden our heart. Today, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your heart. Father, I believe You've already spoke to us. And Lord, I'm asking You now to help us be willing to change. Lord, we're not going to be able to do that just sitting back. We need to make a decision this morning to come to You, not away from You, to listen to You as You speak to us, that our heart be not hardened. And we're going to thank You and praise You for all You do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.